Timothy Leary lives. No, 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 he's outside looking in. Timothy Leary lives. No, 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 he's outside.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the ineluctable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. I don't know if you did radio when you were in college, but you might recognize some of the equipment in this
Yes, I did. I went to Southern Illinois University, and they had one of the, well, they considered the best radio TV department in the state of Illinois, and I trained in those studios.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I grew up just across the river from you. I'm from Iowa.
Oh, yeah, sure. My first wife was from Iowa.
But I hear the Chicago accent, which you still have. No,
hey, Chicago, yeah, not so bad, but yeah. But it's there.
Well, in the studio with me today, it is a thrill and a pleasure and a real honor. I have, you're an actor, you're a musician, you're a comedian, you're... But more to the
writer.
Point of being a writer, can't forget that.
Book.
Yeah, multi
Broadway singer.
A true Renaissance
a dancer.
Man.
And
I'd have to see
a
that.
Petty thief. So make sure your watch is on when I leave.
I take them off for just such an occurrence.
Lucy's coming. Keep your watches in your pocket.
He's also a farmer, of all things, and a businessman. And you haven't already guessed, that's Jim Belushi over there.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Yeah, it is just, wow, I'm in a studio with Jim Belushi. This is cool. I'm that age where this is one of those, growing up in Iowa and seeing these people on
TV. Thank you, man.
And
thank you.
It's a serious thrill. So let's hope I can talk without much of a stammer.
Oh, you're very articulate. I'm afraid you're going to shame me.
It's early. So the reason I got you here is you have a place down in Eagle Point.
Yes, Eagle Point, right on the Rogue River. About 5-6 years ago, I purchased from the Elks Club, the old Elks picnic grounds along the river. And it's a picnic grounds. I mean, they have baseball, you know, little baseball field, stage, barbecue, right on the river, swing set. But I think those guys got a little older, and I don't think they recruit very well. But they sold it to me, and I kind of refurbished it. Not kind of. I totally refurbished it and built a beautiful house on it. And I still let the Elks use it when they want. And the Cattlemen's Association comes and uses it. And people in Eagle Point, they say, oh, you got the old Elks picnic grounds. I partied. Everybody has partied there over the last 40 years. But, yeah, I purchased that, and I'm so happy on the river. I'm just so happy. And then the farm came up behind me for sale, and I bought it, 80 acres. So I'm 93 acres on the Rogue River in Eagle Point. And I have cattle on it that I lease for nominal fee to a neighbor. And I was like, well, what am I going to do with the farm? And recreational marijuana passed, and I went, well, it's the new agriculture. So I started the grow about 3 years ago, 48-plant grow. And then I upped it last year to a light depth. And this year I'm in it. I am rolling. We are producing great weed, great numbers, great quality, light depth. We feed it with the Rogue River water from the mountains. It's got almost a perfect pH for the plant. And the sun down there in the banana belt is just a magical spiritual place to grow.
Yeah, the Terroir, or I can't pronounce words.
I can't pronounce it either, but the Terroir, yes.
Yeah, it's yes. Brilliant.
Terroir. Well, you know, it's interesting that this banana belt is in the same parallel as Burgundy and Bordeaux. Talk about Terroir, you know. From a little above me all the way down to Napa is that gorgeous stretch of earth that circles our earth that just grows beautiful wine, marijuana, pears, grapes.
So now you've gotten into the business. You have your own brand. Well, you're an entertainer, so you are a brand.
Well, yeah.
But your cannabis has a brand.
Yeah. I didn't put my name on it for 2 years because to me it was that's Oregon, and I understand Oregon. I took right to it, and it's just a little more organic here and a little more real compared to I live in L.A. You know, so I didn't really put my name on it at all when I. Sold it last year in the Rogue's Lair Farms. Then I visited about 25 dispensaries and spent a couple hours in each. And people were like, oh, wow. Oh, this is yours. So I kind of hid behind the product. I thought I should lead with the product first instead of leading with my name. But this year I'm so proud of the product and I feel really sure-footed that I branded it Belushi's Private Vault and releasing it this fall. It's in dispensaries now, like in Nectar and Chalice and Hot Box on the East. And I'm very excited. We're having really good numbers and good results.
Tell me about some of your strains. You've got one in particular that I remember you talking about it at the International Cannabis Business Conference that's really popular with vets.
Yes.
Black Diamond?
Black Diamond, yeah, the Black Diamond OG. There was, again, I wanted to do kind of a grassroots understanding, and that's why I did all these dispensary visits all over the state. And I got to meet a lot of vets. And there was three in particular, but one that I'll tell you about on the coast who said he was a medic in Iraq and he'd seen things that happen in the human body that nobody should ever witness. And he said his PTSD was so bad. And he looked a little shaky with me. And his eyes kind of teared up and he said he's got three children and a wife that he can't talk to, and he can't sleep. And he said the Black Diamond OG was the only strain that he could talk to his children again and sleep. And he hugged me. And I was so moved, but I said, but I didn't make it. And he goes, no, but you're the steward. So I was like, wow, man. And to be honest with you, from that moment on, I've changed into another whole place. This plant is, this experience with cannabis in Oregon has pushed me through so many spiritual changes and consciousness and about myself and about our responsibility in the world. So, and there are other gentlemen and one woman that I met that like the Black Diamond OG for their PTSD. Chocolate hashberry, I won't smoke because it's I have a low tolerance. That'll put you right on the couch. I got this other strain, and I really like two strains. Cherry pie, which I call the marriage counselor. I use that before I like talk to my wife. At the end of the day, you know, she may have a glass of wine. I'll take a little hit of cherry pie because usually the fight is, are you hungry? Yeah. Where do you want to go? What do you want to eat? What do you have a taste for? Well, I'd like to have a cheeseburger. No, cheeseburger's too heavy. Well, how about some sushi? I love that little place in Sawtelle. Oh, I had sushi with my mother last night. And usually my reaction is, well, don't ask me what I want when you know we're going to go where you want. But after the cherry pie, it's like, baby, you know, we can go to Taco Bell as long as you're sitting across from me. And she's like, wow, you're being charming. And I go, am I? So she doesn't even know I took the hit. And it's THC is like a 19, although we just had some that tested really high. I don't know what it was about that one greenhouse, but man. But it's got about 4% terpene in it. So there's really a great entourage effect. So there's no paranoia on it. It's mellow. You can handle yourself. And like I said, I have a low tolerance of that and a Blue Dragon. Blue Dragon keeps me like clean and clean thinking and being able to speak and function in the world. And then we got, like I said, chocolate hashberry that'll knock you out. Snowman cookies is another really high THC that I won't try. But we have, and I have a new set of strains coming out in the second cycle that were created by Jeffrey Iverson. He's got an award-winning Nilla wafer. He's been growing. He's got a mentor in San Francisco that he's been working with for 25 years, and wow, man, he is a breeder, and this is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Lemon chiffon, Nilla wafer, a pre-Bubba Kush 98. That'll come out in the second cycle.
I'm encouraged to know that you're doing some strains that aren't just the totally high THC. I mean, that was on the medical side. You get a lot more people who understand that it's a lot more than just the THC, and there's all these things, and then you've got the specific conditions that they're going for. And I'm just really glad to know that you're looking at a whole plant.
Oh yes. I mean, you know, it's like they say, you don't want to go in a liquor store and give me the highest alcohol, right? That's 130 proof. I mean, you know, you want a wine that's got a 14 to 16% alcohol content. Same thing with marijuana. I want a strain that's got a 15 to 17% THC, but a 2 to 4% terpenes. And the terpenes, I love to see the breakdowns on that because I know the breakdowns of my strains. And my strains, two in particular, have very high myrcene. And the myrcene terpene, you know, thins out the cellular wall in the brain to allow the CBD and the THC to kind of penetrate better. So the entourage effect is actually you're getting higher, but in a controlled way. Look, you know, we need to manage. It's medicine. You want to take, you know, 100-milligram candy bar when you are 500 milligrams when you are in your father is in his bed in hospice, and you know they got him on opiates and he can't talk to you. You want to get him on the candy bar so he can be comfortable and still converse to the last day. You know, that kind of medicine. But most people need medicine, and everybody turns to alcohol for medicine. And alcohol destroys families, kills people. Women get beaten. I don't know any women that have gotten beaten from a guy, from a pothead, unless he's mixing it with a lot of alcohol. But, I mean, we're peaceful people. But we need our medicine, and it's safe medicine. It takes whatever trauma we've experienced in our life, whether it's somebody in your family that grew up with a disease that hurt the family because they didn't know how to deal with it. PTSD can destroy a family. A death, divorce, all these kind of traumas. Our endocannabinoids are rushing signals between each other. And when you put these cannabinoids in you, it can slow that down. It's medicine. It's beautiful.
You are listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh, and my guest is Jim Belushi.
And even people who don't think of it as medicine, well, what about, do you take St. John's wort or any of those herbal things, the supplements you can buy at every kind of a store?
Same thing, you're right.
It's exactly the same. It's a health and wellness thing.
I
don't want to take a medicine to make me calm. I'd rather find some way that's not a pharmaceutical drug.
Yes. Look, the wellness of cannabis helps with Alzheimer's, cancer, backache, anxiety, sleeplessness, seizures. But it also sparks creativity, enhances the sound of music, the taste of food, enhances the touch of your lover's skin. But it also gives you a feeling of euphoria, a sense of joy, a sense of balance. And the light that comes from Father Son through this plant, when you smoke it, you smoke that light. It brings you to enlightenedness, a higher consciousness. And this is all considered the wellness of marijuana, of cannabis, for me. So for the people who are just getting high to party, that's fine too. You should never feel guilty about having fun, you know? And by the way, safer. Like I said, nonviolent. I mean, I wish my brother had understood marijuana as medicine in the 70s. I mean, if we knew what we knew today on marijuana in the 70s, I think a lot more people would be alive, including John. I mean, Dan Aykroyd said the greatest thing. He goes, you know, I always said that Johnny was a pothead, he'd be alive today. And it's like, yeah. So let's separate this medicine from the drug world. This is a gateway to healing. This is not a gateway to drugs. It's a gateway to healing. And I think our consciousness is moving that way. I think even in the federal government, they're starting to move that way. I think we're going to see great things. You know?
Well, there's a lot happening. In mid-October, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced it wanted to get comments from the public about international scheduling, the international classification of a number of different drugs, including whole plant cannabis. There's a good chance that in the next month or so, as we're recording this, the World Health Organization will announce that it's rescheduling whole plant cannabis out of Schedule 1. That'd
be great. I mean, come on, let's get real here. They'll come around, you know. I mean, even the government, once they start seeing, we're in a business-oriented government right now. Once they start seeing the business numbers, maybe they'll come around, you know. Their buddies can't do banking, so let's work it for the banks, you know. Then the pharmaceuticals want in. I mean, the beverage companies won in, and they got great lobbyists. And so maybe they'll help move this along because of their agenda, you know. So I think we're moving in a good direction. And I really believe this, and at the core of this cannabis is healing, medicine. Takes that edge off. And it's not addicting like alcohol. And, you know, these poor men that came from World War II, you know, Korean War, they came back and they saw some horrible stuff, just like this veteran that I met. And their medicine was alcohol. A lot of us grew up children of alcoholics.
I certainly did.
Yeah.
A World War II vet.
Yes, exactly. Those guys didn't know any better. They weren't mean guys. They didn't start that way. They saw horrible things that their bodies couldn't process, the horrible dreams, broke up marriages. They drank and pain. Well, then we came along and found marijuana, but we called it a drug still. So we moved from marijuana to psilocybin, to peyote, to LSD, to coke. But if we identified it as medicine back then, it might have been different. Anyway, we found a peaceful medicine. something that helps ever, hurts never.
Do you think you'll be able to talk Steve Marks, the head of the OLCC, the Liquor Control Commission, into supporting the trade program? People can turn.
I don't have to talk Steve Marks into anything. He is so on board with this idea. We just walked with one of the guys on his commission, Matt. We just walked the Old Town area 2 days ago, looking for a location where we may be able to put up a pop-up dispensary for charity. And it's right in that Mission District, too, where there's men and women are need help. And so we are finding new avenues and maybe a rule adjustment here or there to make it possible to actually do an opiate trade where you bring your opiates in and I give you free marijuana. That's difficult because it's a DEA thing, and it's like you don't want to give – here's an opiate to the bud tender. You have to give it to a pharmacist or a doctor, and then they have licenses that are federal, and they are nervous about losing their licenses. So there's a lot of things to work out still, but Steve Marks is working on convincing – others on the state level, on the city level. So I don't have to convince Steve. Steve is so on board with it. This guy is, you know, it's OLCC. It's a government state-run thing, and we all naturally mistrust those kinds of people. But I've spent a lot of time with these guys, and they got great hearts. Their main concern is pesticide-free, clean material, and stop this illegal trade. Stop the crime. But if you have a license and you comply, they're your partners. And when I have a problem, you can call them and they try to figure out a way to solve the problem opposed to, you know, sorry, it's 5 o'clock, office closed. They're into the medicine. They are working really hard right now to help with the medical side, because some people need to buy more marijuana in order to make their oil, in order for them to have the real medicine. And there's limitations on how much you can buy, but they have to be careful of who's buying it. They want to make, I mean, they're really working to solve problems. I love these guys. They're my partners.
If it's only a question of convincing the police and the city council, that's a much easier task.
The city of Portland is they're cool, but we do have to, that is another bridge we have to get through, because the location, you know, there's setbacks, there's perimeters, there's places, and we'd have to find some kind of compromise on where to place it, and the city would have to approve it. And then, you know, maybe there's another dispensary down the street that doesn't want you to be there because we're giving it away. So, you know, there's just little things to get through, but I think all solvable and possible to at least start with a pop-up.
So tell my listeners how folks can find out about your farm and your products and all that. Do you have a website?
I have an Instagram, Belushi's Farms. And I have a website that literally went up yesterday called BelushiFarms.com. And on there is a little history and some pretty photos always. But also there's a section called Fresh Drop, which has the dispensaries that have our cannabis. I'm not in every dispensary. I've chosen really select partners that we see eye to eye on things, and I feel are good people, and of course they're into their profit margins, and they should be, but I'm trying to keep the retail price of the Belushi Farms material, a working man's brand, available, affordable, and really good weed.
There you go. Any closing thoughts for my listeners?
Oh, no need to struggle. You know, we've been struggling enough. Time to find some relief and compassion and light for each other. I mean, I know it sounds like I'm an old hippie, but that's what I am. I am an old hippie. And I'm just really proud of this state and happy to be here.
Sounds like you found home.
Yeah, I just love that river down there. The spirits are ripping down there. The water spirits, the mountain spirits, the sun. I'm just having a great time.
Brilliant. Jim Belushi, thank you.
Thank you for making the time for me.
Please. And, yeah. That was my interview with Jim Belushi from Out of Off of the TV and the movies. And also, these days, Belushi's Farm down in Eagle Point. Many thanks to my guests and everyone who helped to arrange this interview. A big thank you to our engineer. And thanks especially to you, dear listener, for your support. You make it all worth it. Free Culture Radio has a webpage at kboo.fm/freeculture, where you can find a complete archive of past shows. Free Culture Radio also has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/kboofreeculturradio. Please give it a like. You'll find links there to past shows and announcements about upcoming programs and events and other stuff like news items that might be of interest. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh. We'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Thanks again for listening. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
So long.